We're looking back on life in the Clinton White House. My guest, Leon Panetta, was President Clinton's first director of the Office of Management and Budget. In Clinton's second year in the White House, he appointed Panetta chief of staff, replacing Clinton's old friend Thomas Mack McClarty. Panetta left the White House in 1996 after Clinton's reelection. Now he lives in California and runs the Panetta Institute, a bipartisan study center for the advancement of public policy. I asked him what he most wanted to change when he took over as chief of staff.
Well, there were three things that I think I really had to focus on as chief of staff. One was establishing a chain of command in the White House. There really was no organization chart, and people were not responsible to any level of discipline. So what I first did was basically establish a kind of basic organization chart that had myself, two deputies, and the chief of staff's office responsible to the rest of the staff and in control of the rest of the staff. Secondly, to establish greater discipline within the White House so that people understood that they couldn't simply walk into the Oval Office, but they would have to go through the chief of staff's office in order to do that, and to improve the method of briefing the president. And then thirdly, to establish as much as possible a focus for the president. He seemed to be going after all issues at all times, trying to be all things to everybody. And very frankly, that's not a good use of the bully pulpit. You've got to create a focus. And so we were able to develop a very tight scheduling approach and to say, you know, these are the priorities, these are the issues that the administration is going to be about. And the president, to his credit, accepted that.
When you established the chain of command and made it impossible for people to just walk right into the Oval Office, did some of the people in the administration see you as creating just a more hierarchical structure and ruining some of the idealism in the White House?
Well, there's no question that, particularly those who kind of came out of the campaign and had become accustomed to dealing with the president as a candidate, thought that that was the way they ought to deal with him as president. But the problem with that is that, obviously, for a president who has to face a number of issues and a number of problems and has very limited time, it can create virtual chaos. You just can't have everybody dealing with the president every time they thought they wanted to speak to him. And so I think the president himself recognized the need for discipline, the need for a stricter organization. And I felt that if I was going to be successful as chief of staff, but more importantly, if the president was going to be successful, that this was the only way to do business.
When you were White House chief of staff, were there many calls you got at 3 or 4 in the morning?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I don't miss is getting those calls in the middle of the night because it's usually not good news.
And, yeah, what were the issues that woke you up at 3 or 4?
Well, I can remember soon after I became chief of staff, I got a call. I think it was about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning from a Secret Service agent. And he said, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I have to tell you that a plane just went into the White House. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, no, a plane went into the White House. I said, well, was it a DC-10? Was it a 747? He said, no. No, it was just a light plane and went up against the White House, and we think, may have damaged the Jackson Magnolia tree, but that's about it. I said, yeah, but I said, is it a diversion? Is this an effort to go after the president? Do we know whether there, this is some kind of assault against the president? Have you checked out the plane? And it tells you a little bit about the state of what's happening these days with regards to the news. But here's a Secret Service agent, and he says to me, according to CNN News, this is, we don't think there's a problem. I said, no, I don't care about what CNN News is reporting. I want you to go out there and find out what's in that plane, if there's dynamite or if there's explosives. And that gives you an idea of some of the issues that, that chief of staff has to deal with.
Did you watch CNN a lot to figure out what was going on?
Well, interestingly enough, in this age of technology and information that speeds across the country in seconds, the reality is that for all of the intelligence agents we have and all of the satellites we have and all of the information sources we have, nothing is faster than a report on CNN News or the kind of 24-hour news stations that we have now on different cables. I mean, that's a reality. And I'll tell you another story. I was went down to the basement of the White House to look at the Situation Room when I became chief of staff, and asked to see the information center where all of this information came in. And they showed me a corner where there were a couple soldiers sitting there in uniform. And what they were doing was watching CNN News. So that is the principal information source that now flows into the White House. They tell me they've added a few others since then.
I think it was in 1994 that Dick Morris became President Clinton's political advisor. Now, I know that there were several people in the Clinton administration who really didn't like Dick Morris. What made him so unpopular with part of the administration that was already there?
Well, Dick Morris is a political consultant, and he is a political consultant who relies on polls and focuses on winning, like most political consultants do. And so he doesn't bring really a particular ideology to his profession or beliefs. He basically operates on doing what you have to do in order to win. So you introduce a consultant like that into the White House to a staff that is professional, that is working on issues, that believes deeply, whether it's in education or healthcare or in foreign policy efforts by the administration, and suddenly someone goes walking in who says, you know, this is what the polls show, this is what you should or shouldn't do, it creates almost immediate antagonism to that individual.
Did Dick Morris ever interfere with your work, or did the polling interfere with your work?
Well, my view was that, first of all, I mean, there is a role for consultants to play, but it is a role that they should play on the political process and in the campaign. And so we early on established a process whereby the president would have political meetings and Dick Morris could present his information at those political meetings. As to any decisions that were made on policy, that would flow through me as chief of staff to the staff. And we would, again, evaluate those issues to make sure that from a policy point of view, they were the right thing to do for the president. Now, I will tell you that at first, Dick Morris began to walk around the White House and begin to go in and talk to staff members individually. And as soon as I had gotten information that he was doing that, I went straight to Dick Morris and to the president and made very clear that that could not happen, because you cannot allow a political consultant to assume that he can run the White House. That just should not happen, and it didn't happen once I went to the president.
My guest is Leon Panetta. We're talking about life in the Clinton White House. Leon Panetta served as the budget director and as the White House chief of staff. Monica Lewinsky was your intern before working with President Clinton. What was your reaction when you heard that it was alleged that they had had intimate relations?
Well, I was shocked. First of all, that it had happened. But secondly, that it had happened with someone who actually had not been working in the White House. My policy as chief of staff was to not have White House interns working in the West Wing itself, because I felt that would be a dangerous approach. Not because there aren't White House interns who can assume some of those responsibilities, but the reality is that you don't know everything about the background of a White House intern, and that they are young, and that I thought it was dangerous to expose them to the kind of sensitive issues that the White House was dealing with. So generally, White House interns did not come over to the White House. What happened at that time was that because of the government shutdown, we were required, as every other agency, to basically not have our personnel show up. And so to try to replace personnel that that had to be let off as a result of the shutdown, we did use some of the White House interns to answer phones. And so she had actually just come over for one day, maybe 2 or 3 days, I guess. And then that was it. We then sent her back to her normal White House intern responsibilities. And then, frankly, I kind of lost track of her. And then when the story came out, I was back in California and realized that this had happened. It was, for me, just, again, a total shock.
Did you believe the story? Or did you believe the president?
My view was that for a president as bright and capable as this president, who loved the office of the presidency so much and enjoyed the challenges that were part of the office of the presidency and cared so much about the issues that he was working on, that there was no way I thought this person would in any way risk that presidency on that kind of behavior. I mean, I just never believed that he would do something like that. And that's why, you know, when the story came out, it was a surprise because I think it caught all of the staff by surprise because no one believed that he would do something that stupid when you're president of the United States, and particularly with this president.
Did it change your estimation of Bill Clinton as a man or as a president to know that he really did have an intimate relationship with her?
I think what bothered me more than anything about what took place was not so much the fact that it happened, because, you know, when those things happen, it isn't just the responsibility of one person. There are two people that are involved. I didn't feel I could be a judge of what actually happened in that relationship. But what concerned me more than anything was the failure to acknowledge that it had happened and to be truthful with the American people about what had happened. Because I think ultimately, you know, for all of the great things he did as president, one of the things that you can't break is the bond of trust between the American people and the president. And when you do that, it undermines your ability to lead the nation.
You had to testify before Kenneth Starr's grand jury, and I'm wondering if you were angry during the testimony at all, angry about having to be put through that, and if so, whether you were more angry at the president or at Ken Starr.
Well, it's never a pleasant experience, I think, for anybody to go through that kind of proceeding, even though, you know, I had nothing to hide, and obviously, you know, was not concerned about anything that related to me. So, it wasn't, and I didn't even hire a lawyer when I did that, because, I felt I had nothing to hide, and I would present and answer all of the questions that were presented to me. So that wasn't the problem. But going before them so soon, I guess, after the story had broke and the kind of circus atmosphere that developed around the grand jury hearings and having to go through that, I think that concerned and bothered me more than anything. But especially for someone like myself who's been in and out of Washington over the last 30 years, I kind of accepted what was happening as one of those things you have to go through periodically in Washington.
My guest is Leon Panetta, President Clinton's first budget director and second chief of staff. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Leon Panetta is my guest. We're talking about life inside the Clinton White House. He served as budget director and White House chief of staff in the Clinton administration. A couple of snapshots for us. Can you just give us the moment in which you were proudest to be in the Clinton White House and the moment in which you felt most disappointed in the president?
Oh, well, there's no question. I think the proudest moment for me in the White House is, I mean, one of them was clearly the passage of the economic plan and putting that in place, because that made such a tremendous difference in terms of where our economy ultimately has gone, and I think that'll always be my proudest moment as director of the Office of Management and Budget. But actually, the moment I remember best was when the president looked at Newt Gingrich during the government shutdown and basically said to him after a long series of negotiations, I cannot accept what you want me to do in your budget. I think it's wrong for the country, and it may cost me the election, but I'm not going to do it. And it was at kind of that moment that I said, you know, the president understands what it's all about. He's willing to draw a line. And I guess that was the moment that I was proudest of him because he was willing to say that in a very tough negotiation and a very tough moment in terms of the history of this country. I don't think there's any question that obviously the moment that was most disappointed with him was not really during a time when I was in the White House, but after I had left with regards to this whole Lewinsky matter, because it really concerned me. And again, what concerned me was not so much what had happened, it was the fact that he looked the American people in the eye and didn't tell them the truth.
What was it like for you when you had to tell the president something he didn't want to hear, when you were chief of staff?
I never had a problem doing that. Even though, president didn't like to hear it, and he has a temper and would sometimes react against it. I felt it was my job as chief of staff, again, to be very frank with him about what was happening. If something good was happening, I'd love to tell him that. But if something bad was happening, it was my responsibility as chief of staff to tell him as well. And to his credit, even though he would be concerned about it or he would be angry about it, it did not take him very long to get his feet back on the ground and to return to the job of being president of the United States. He does really have this capacity to compartmentalize these kinds of problems. It'll put him aside, and if he's dealing with issues that involve the presidency, he will focus on it 100% and do his job, even though these other problems are developing. So he is... he's one of a kind. I don't think we're going to see a Bill Clinton, with all of the qualities that he had, both good and bad, I don't think we're going to see that kind of president for a long time.
How do you think life in the Bush White House will compare to what life was like in the Clinton White House?
I have no idea. I have no idea I don't even think that George Bush probably has much idea either, because the reality is, for all the plans you make and for all the people you appoint to positions, you don't know what the hell's going to happen until you walk into the Oval Office and have to deal with people and have to deal with the kind of crises and problems that face the president. It's at that moment that you will find out whether this is a team that can pull together and be able to deal with issues. I mean, he's got a lot of experience both in the cabinet and in some of the people around him. Clearly, Dick Cheney has a lot of experience in those jobs. So he's got a lot of experience to fall back on, and that can be helpful. But at the same time, the ability of that team to work together, to respond to discipline, to be able to operate in an organized fashion, to deal with crises, all of that remains to be seen.
Leon Panetta, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Leon Panetta was President Clinton's first budget director and second chief of staff. He's also one of the people featured in the ABC Nightline and PBS Frontline co-production, The Clinton Years.